source of
terror. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable. This is Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I am coming to you live, breathing, loving human being, full of the spirit. It is amazing when you wake up and the Holy Spirit is moving in you. You feel the power. Feel the power. You know you feel the power because you woke up and you have the desire to get up. And when you get up, you're moving around and you're doing things. It's not your power that you're moving under. It's the power of God. So good morning, mothers and daughters around the world. You're listening to this broadcast, that means you're alive. And you have power, and you are moving around, and you're breathing. Let's give God some praise for that. Thank you, God. Thank you for another opportunity, another day to serve you. Some people are not here today. Their journey end. But as long as you're here and you're breathing, you're still on your journey, that means there is work for you to do. You don't get to sit around and do nothing. You're here to serve the Lord. And you need to decide, what am I going to do for the Lord today? Not what am I going to do for myself. I worked all week and I'm tired. And I'm not going to do nothing but just me. No, what are you going to do for the Lord today? And that's every day when you wake up. Even though you may go to work for somebody else, God, use me. You placed me on that job. Give me a word to give to somebody. Give me the power, authority to touch someone and heal their bodies. Heal their minds. Help them solve an issue. Save someone from suicide, drug overdose. Jesus, you show up. I'm a backup. You show up. And when I walk in the room, they're going to see you. They're going to feel your spirit. I want to take on. I take off where you left. Is that we use for the college. So we'll start where you stop, Jesus. That's the role we're supposed to carry. We're supposed to start where Jesus stopped. Whew. That's it for today. So where are we going? Good morning, good morning. Let's go to get my co-host. We have been very busy for the last few weeks. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Wow, I'm doing good. It's been a moment since we've all been together.
I know.
Thank God, thank God we're here. But it wasn't like we wasn't doing the Lord's work. We were out doing what God had asked us to do. So anyway, Deborah, how was your week?
I tell you, I had a short one because I was still trying to get clear to go back. So I didn't go back till Wednesday. And then, you know, just 3 days. So it was short. And I tell you, I enjoyed them 2 days in the house. I wanted some time off. I got it.
You kept what you asked for. You know, when
I
you
got
when
a whole week.
When you annoyed it.
I got a whole week off.
Mm.
And yeah, so I was in the house for a whole week. I mean, I went out to get food and all of that, but, you know, that was just it because food couldn't come to me. So I went out for food, you know, every maybe 3 days or something. But, yeah, so I had a relaxing week, short week, you know, all is well.
Yeah, you know, I said when you're anointed, people don't realize once you're anointed, and you start saying stuff, you better be careful what you say because you're very powerful and you get exactly what you say quicker. Mm. And you know, somebody said, well, then why don't I get this quicker? Because that's the case because I'm anointed. You know, it's when you're not thinking about it. It's when you're trying to make something happen. It's when you can't make God do. When you're thinking about it and you're telling God, well, God, I want you to do this, and God, I want you to do that, that don't move God. It's just it's the little things that confine the wise because, you know, you say it and you just say it and you don't have that. You just say it and it manifests. Boom. Things that we have to concentrate on and force, you have to fight for those things and they don't really happen. But it's just the innocent words that comes out of your mouth sometimes, if that makes any sense. It just pops up the reality. But I'm sure your body needed the rest, and I'm glad you're okay and everything is good. God be the glory.
Amen.
Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
How was your week?
Oh, being there with you, we were busy. It was busy, got it done, all is well. As much as I love you, as much as I like just being in that space, it's good to be home. It's good to be home, to sleep in my own bed. Ain't nothing like your own bed, but it was productive, and I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to be there. It was awesome. It was awesome. I had a great week with you and Angie, and it was a great week. It really was. I came back, even though we worked, I came back with a different mindset. And so I'm just ready to keep doing whatever it is that God will put before us and just make it that we can't make anything happen but do our part, do my part. And so I'm good to go. I ain't got no complaints. I will not. All is well. All is well. All is well. And with that same token, how was your week?
Well, my week was great. My 2 weeks was great. We wasn't on last week. And prior to that, Deborah, we had, of course, you know, prepared week before last for the camera crew, production crew to come in, and we had Joy, the producer for our television network, to fly in, and Cynthia flew in, and we prepared for our new television season, and it was miraculous. That's all I can say. It was to explain it to everybody on the board, the ones that came, Deborah, and you were there, and you know the connection and the spirit that we worked out of when we met in May, I just said, elevate that up 3 times. I'm telling you, it was just amazing. It was amazing, the spirit of the Lord and how everything came together, and we didn't have to reshoot. We didn't have to stop and cut and get back. And I mean, every show that we produced was different and had its own level of spirit, I guess. I don't know, spiritual energy. It was just amazing. But at the end, I'm telling you, it took me 2 days. It always take me two. This time it took me 2.5 days to get myself together. So
Cynthia
was here, but Cynthia was in the room doing her work. Half time we didn't see each other to come out for lunch or something because she was on a project. And I sit in here and try to do some work, and I couldn't do no work. I mean, I just was just drained. I mean, we cried and we shared, and it was just, whew, it was an experience. So now we're ready. So our next trip is in Atlanta, and then we'll start heading south to Florida and then coming back up north again. But it was amazing time. I am so pleased, and did some work on the Matriarch Now community and put in some new pieces there. So it's good. It's coming together. It's coming together. And mothers and daughters out there, join us at matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. Matriarchnow.com. Come in and join the community, and you're going to see some wonderful things. You know, as we grow each week, we're going to be adding things to this community. It's just growing into a multifaceted community that's going to meet needs of so many mothers and daughters around the world. And when we say mothers and daughters, if you don't have a daughter, keep in mind, you are a woman, you are a daughter. And you had a mother. So you have a mother and daughter story. So that's our spiel for that this morning. It was absolutely wonderful. I wish everybody was there, Deborah. I wish everybody could have experienced what we experienced. And it was our test model to test it to see, you know, how it worked, and it worked so smoothly. Now we got the model. All we got to just go from town to town now and set up and do what we do. It's awesome. It's going to be, they can say, easy peasy. So we good. All righty. So this morning, Deborah, you want to give us the prayer?
Sure. Father, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see this day. Thank you for giving us our able limbs, our right mind, and all our senses are functioning. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for using us today for your glory. We ask that whatever you say through us, that we'll be bold enough to say it, Lord. We will not hold back. We will not push the Holy Spirit. We will allow it to use us for your glory. We thank you for all that you're going to do this day, this week coming, and the months and the years to come in the Mother and Daughters Ministry. We ask that you will bless each and every one of us, that you will continue to anoint us to do your will and your work, and continue to help us be on one accord in spirit and unity. We love you, we adore you, Lord. Help us as you promise so we may live, because our hope is in you. We ask that you will touch the audience today, that you will give somebody a word, somebody a heart that's hurting, somebody a heart that's broken, somebody that just don't have any hope, somebody that's giving up on you, Lord. We ask that you renew their strength, renew their mind, comfort and console their heart and hearts, Lord. That you will give them all that they need, that they will know that you're able to do all things for fail, Lord. We ask that you would touch them in a way that they would know that it's you, God. That you would touch them in a way that they would know that there's no other way but through you. We ask, Jesus, help us as you promised, Lord, to do your will. Not like the world, not doing it our way, but your way, Lord. Just help us be who you call us to be, Lord. Help us get in line with your word. You said it's finished. You already done what you're going to do. Help us line up and get what you promised us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you right now for all that you're going to do. Forever, ever. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. I tell you, I just, you know, when Deborah, I know Cynthia's been with me for 2 weeks. I feel like, you know, we've talked so much, but, and I keep saying Deborah, but it's just, so much going on right now that I feel that God is saying to us, we have got to connect our hearts. And that's the campaign that we're kicking off to reach mothers and daughters around the world. We've got to connect our hearts because this is the only way. The enemy job is to connect, disconnect us. Everything is to disconnect us. But we've got to connect our hearts in order for us to have an effect on all the things that's going on around the world. And how do we do that? We're going to have to connect to God, to his goodness. So that brings me to the topic this morning, mothers and daughters and the goodness of God. So I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and then I'll come back and see what he's told you guys, okay?
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father God. Yes, this is the topic. You know, when I think about it, everything is about God's goodness. You know, this is part of my study for the week. I always ask the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom and understanding of things that I should know or do. Because how do you know, except through the Holy Spirit, what you're supposed to do, say, or gain wisdom in and understanding? Because Jesus said what? The Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus said. Because he knew somewhere along the line, we would forget. And if you forget and you don't have somebody to remind you, that information is going to lay dormant in your subconscious mind. You have no way of pulling it up. There's a lot of information, a lot of living experiences that you've had that you don't think about every day. Some things you have forgotten about and will remember them no more until you meet an old schoolmate or somebody from your past that will say to you, girl, you remember when we used to? And you're like, girl, I forgot about that. I hadn't thought of that in 40 years. Because you suppressed it, you didn't want to remember that. Well, the same thing is about the Word of God. You can read the Word of God every day. You remember what you're reading, but there's a lot of things that you read. There's a lot of things that you hear. If it's in your church for your pastor or some Christian person that passed your way and gave you a word, or a word that you got in your Bible study or your morning devotions, you can't remember everything that you've read over the years. It's there. It's in your subconscious mind. It's connected to your spirit. But it takes the Holy Spirit to remind you. And it seems like when something come up, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what God said. Now, most people think that they're doing it themselves. You know, I was doing so-and-so, and I remember so-and-so-and-so, instead of saying, I was doing so-and-so, and the Holy Spirit reminded me. Give credit where credit is due. The Holy Spirit reminded me of a word that I read that the Lord spoke. Because that's who reminds you. That's who wake you up in the morning. That's who give you your instructions. You know, if you go to Proverbs 4 and you read Proverbs 4, it's all about the Father's instructions, the whole thing. He said, get the instructions and follow the instructions. So Proverbs is the Old Testament, which gives you the background and the introduction of what's to come. Because the Old Testament give you that preview that Jesus is coming. Keeps telling you, there's one that's coming. There's one that's coming. So when he came, his blood built the protection shield for us all. It's like the Old Testament is behind the wall of Jesus. They can say there's a new sheriff in town. And the way they used to do business back in the day, we won't be doing business like that today. Because I come with a new set of rules. And these are the instructions that you follow from henceforth and forevermore. This is the connection. This is the rewritten policies and procedures of the kingdom to be implemented here on the earth. And then you have to connect to those procedures. And how you connect through those to those procedures, you connect through grace. Grace. So when we hear the word grace, we think about, oh, God's grace. It gives us an opportunity to get something that we didn't earn, or like, you know, oh man, I just slid through. I got grace because I didn't earn it, but God gave it to me. But grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. When you're talking about grace, you're talking about God's riches. What are his riches? Your health, your wealth, your prosperity, your peace, the love, all the fruits of the Spirit, faith, mercy, wisdom, understanding, forgiveness, goodness, self-control, kindness, gentleness, peace. All of your senses. You're the branch from the vine. All of that you get because of God's grace. And because God is nothing but 100% pure love. And when I equate that, I look at the facts in my mind's eye. Seeing a pure piece of 100% gold. Fine gold. Has a shine on it. Just imagine. The love of God is like fine gold. It's not going to change. It don't have any other elements in it. It's pure. And therefore, only God can give you his goodness because there's nothing else in him but good. Good cannot produce evil, and evil cannot produce good. So when they say and you hear God loved you unconditionally, he does. Because that's all he has is love, pure love. Pure love cannot have conditions. So no matter what you do or say, God going to love you anyway. He loves the good and the bad. And I used to think, well, why would you want to love the bad when they ain't doing what they're supposed to do? But now I understand it. If you pure love, There's nothing else you can give. And you give it unconditionally. God can't make choices of doing for one and not doing for the other. See, he said, he sent Jesus, and that was the final. That's the final lamb. That's the final blood. There will be no more. That's it. So everything works through Jesus. I will not pull my wrath out on you. There's a whole new world now. And behind that veil, behind Jesus, was the Old Testament, the old way that God did business. And you see, even God decided, I'm going to change the way that I do business. This has nothing to do with his love for you. He can't change the way he loves you. That's written in stone, unchangeable. But we, as the children of God, what do? We think we can do just whatever we want, and there's no consequences. Now, you say you're a good parent. You love your children. But even that, if one of your children did something and was out of order, you're going to punish that child because you're going to say to her, I have got to show you that was wrong. And if I don't punish you, I'm assisting you to do it again. So I need to get your attention on this. So any good parent will chastise their child because that's how they are going to remember. That's how they're going to correct those actions. So if you chastise your child, you think God is not going to chastise you? He's just going to allow you to keep doing wrong? Then when are you going to turn? When are you going to turn? God didn't do it. You did it. Come on now. We need to take responsibility. God is pure love. He's not playing a game with you. Today I'm going to help you best. Tomorrow I'm not going to help you. Oh, I don't know. Maybe next week we can do it. You know. Then he would not be God. Come on. He would be human. Only humans do that crazy stuff. And that's why he came through a human. It is possible to be a human and still follow instructions and still receive the goodness of God in the land of the living. He said, in this land you shall eat the good. Not in heaven, in this land. So the goodness of God comes through his love. And his goodness pours on all his children. And we got to stop judging other people. Oh, if they didn't do that, maybe that wouldn't have happened to them. Well, I don't like him because he's doing this and he's riling up a whole bunch of people and getting them to do things to other people. God's going to get him. But that God still loves him. Or she's just a mess. She's just running around with every man in town, just doing whatever she wants to do. There are consequences, but God still loves her. Because, see, you have to think within your own mind, just ask the Holy Spirit, remind me from which I came. Look at all the dirt that you've done. Yeah, I said dirt. Because if you did one thing and it was outside of the will of God, it was dirt. It wasn't clean. It wasn't pure. It wasn't honest. So nobody's going to stand up and say, you know, I've never done anything wrong. I don't have no sins. Of course, if you're saved by Christ, your sins are taken care of. But you surely can commit sins many of them in a daily, on daily basis. So, God love you. His goodness is there. It's already given to you. And the goodness of God is what wake us up in the morning. When you look back over your life and you think of some of the things you did, if you just sit down and just think back, because see, you got some stuff in you, you know, nobody knows but you. But when you think back and you think, wow, God, you saw that. And you loved me anyway. Gave me for that. And you still love me anyway. You still waking me up. You still allowing me to have communication with you. What a good God you are. It's the goodness of God that we're breathing. Because he's pure love. Because he don't have no stains or no other elements mixed in his love, and his DNA is just 100% pure love. And it trickles down through Jesus Christ. He loves us in spite of what we've done. And the other thing that was shown to me through the Holy Spirit, we do all kinds of things to get God's attention. We'll fast for so many days because I want God's attention. We'll read the Bible 5 times a day because I want God's attention. We'll sit and do our little rituals because I want God's attention. We're going to pray 5 hours in the morning because we want God's attention. We're going to talk in tongues every morning for 2 hours because we want God's attention. Well, all that is good in its own rights, but not for God's attention. It's so that you can communicate and stay connected to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. But there's only one way you're going to get God's attention, and that's through Jesus Christ and the grace. The grace, his grace, his grace is how you connect to God and believe in what he said. He said nothing that you do can change one hair on your head. So all of that, you don't change anything from God. That's human practice. It's implementing things that we've seen over the years. We were raised, that's the way you get God's attention. You already got God's attention. God said, I'm here with you. There's nothing that you're doing I don't hear. There's nothing that you're doing I don't see. You don't have to be the puppet on the string. Yeah, read my word because that's my instructions. But that's to elevate you and your faith. That's not to get my attention to impress me. Only way you're going to get to me is through Jesus Christ, the grace, his blood. You come to Jesus, not me. But sometimes we think and we're afraid that you have to do a shuffle. You got to shift and you got to dance and you got to cry and you got to pray. Oh, God, please, can you just help me? I can't do this no more, God. He's like, oh, look at that. Look at that. No faith. He said, only thing is faith that moved me. That's why he said, come boldly to the throne. You come boldly to the throne. You come like knowing, hey, good morning, God. How you doing? God, you said, and I'm here by grace through Jesus Christ. I come, Father. I come. It's like the power that the lady got when she touched Jesus' garments. She said, if I could just touch his garments, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed. She took it. God said, I already gave it to you. All you got to do is take it. I'll give you a present. And I said, here's the present. Deborah, I'm giving you this. Okay, Dr. B. And I have it in my hand, but she never reached up to get it. I already told her, this is yours. I gave this to you. I made this just for you. Okay, Dr. B. But she never took it out of my hands. That's what we do. God said, I have given you my grace. I have given you my son. I have shed his blood that you could be free. I have allowed him to suffer on a cross, stripes on his back, so that you could be healed. His blood covers all of your sins and iniquities so that you could have eternal life. This isn't about the other shuffle and all of that. This is about knowing that God has provided for us, all of us. But if you don't come and get the gift, it'll be in heaven when you get there, if you get there. If not, you're going to pass it along your way to hell. You're going to see a big sign with your name on it, gifts not received, unclaimed freight. And you'll wonder as you march by, what in the world? My name is in neon lights, unclaimed freight. What did I not claim? And then the picture show. You asked me, and I gave it to you, but you didn't accept it. Now I know this sounds like I'm spilling out something that may sound like, oh, well, you know, Dr. Beth, that's so easy. Oh, you're going to be challenged to reach up and get that gift. But as long as you know God said it, I believe it, and I took it out of the hands of Jesus, it's mine, it will manifest in your reality. Because God says, my word will not return to me void. And that's your faith. And that was the faith of the lady with the 12-year issue of blood. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And even when she did it, she snuck and took it. Sometimes you have to sneak and take it. God looking at Jesus talking, you like, pew, I got it, Jesus. I took it out of your hand. Thank you. You saw it there. You know it was yours. Take it by force, he said. But we're so scared, so timid, begging, doing the shuffle on the side. That don't get it for you. You just got to go take it. She took it. And even Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? The apostles was, Master, what do you mean? You got all these people around you. You mean who touched you? But see, Jesus knew because he felt the power that left. You want to activate the power that God, that Jesus have extended you? My power I give to you, he said. My power I give to you. But did we take it? We say the words. Did you ever say, well, Jesus, I take that power? Activate that power in me? He'll know when you do it because it's going to move from him to you. And he looked at the lady. He didn't know who it was. Keep in mind, he was a man. But when he turned, she trembled. He felt it, the power leaving him just by touching his clothes. And she confessed, I touched you, and I was healed. He said, daughter, by your faith, you are healed. She didn't come before him and beg. She didn't come before him and ask. She didn't come in before him and holler, oh, Jesus, son of David. Oh, Jesus, hello, come by here, Lord. None of that. She believed it was hers to get, and she took it. And that's what we have to do. The goodness of God is ours. All we have to do is just take it. I remember Gloria Copeland saying that so many times. She said, just take it. Take your healing. Take your blessing. And it wasn't until this week that it came into a new revelation to me. Take it. You know, when you have experienced something and you try to explain it to somebody else and you say it so soft and so gently, sometimes we don't get it. And I heard her voice again this week. Take it. And I always say, when I get up on Saturday morning, I'm not preaching to you. I'm sharing what the Holy Spirit shared with me. I'm the student here. Take it, Bessie. Take your healing. And that's what I did. I took it. Thank you, Father. Okay. Cynthia? Hello? Deborah?
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I'm sorry. You know, it's interesting that we're having this topic because, you know, it is by, as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And, you know, Paul asked God 3 times to remove the thorn from his side. And God told him, no, 3 times, my grace is sufficient. Unfortunately, oftentimes it is in our weakness, our brokenness, and our weariness that we turn to God. And we are to turn to him in all of those things. He wants us to have a reverence of a healthy fear in our lives and knowing that he and he alone are the only one who can change our situation. But in those moments, in our weaknesses, in our brokenness, and in our weariness, God's power is greater than any weakness that we will ever experience. God's power, if we just receive it, means that we will get all He gets all the glory when we learn to walk it out, not succumbing to the weaknesses and the brokenness in our lives, but trusting him in all of these things. It shines like a spotlight on God's power when we're able to walk it out and not succumb to the brokenness and the weariness and the weakness. And so when we get in the habit of receiving his grace in those times of depression and whatever you're experiencing that's anything not like God, we already know the influence of that is the enemy. When we're able to walk it out, it highlights the glory of God, deliverance in our lives. We don't get, we're touched by it, but we're not gripped by it. And so when God allows us his grace, and when we receive it, we're able to do what he's told us to do despite our circumstances. We're not waiting on the dollars. We're not waiting for the big thing, you know, because we all waiting on the big thing. Whatever we've been praying for, we're waiting on that before we move in the power of God. But if you just walk it out, you just walk it out, you're going to walk into his grace, and you're going to receive it. it's take it by force, as you said. Because when you walk it out, you are taking it by force. You are saying, no, I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm going to trust God and God alone, and I'm going to do what he told me to do, no matter how it looks. Because God got this. And by his grace, we can have it as well. We can receive it and walk it out. And Dr. Fletcher, not to brag on us or anything that we have done since we met in 2009, but all glory goes to God. And we've been walking it out, no matter the circumstances, we've been walking it out in God's grace. And I just want to just say thank you, Lord, because I'm just determined. I'm just determined to walk it out. Sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes it don't look good. But your deliverance, I have, because just like Paul, I've asked and I've asked and I've asked. I know that your grace and your mercies is what keeps me walking it out, because I have received your grace, and I'm going to continue to walk it out. I'm going to continue to walk it out because I know that you're right there beside me. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, Paul accounts in his darkest moment that he had the grace of God, that he was able to do what it is that he was instructed to do in that time. So thank you for allowing me to share. I'm going to walk it out because I have been delivered from all of my woes. No matter what comes, I will trust in the Lord, and we will get her done. As we say, get it done. And so I am going to get it done because I'm trusting in God and God alone. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Yep, that's it. Don't stop. Because when you stop, somebody's going to run in the back of you. Because there's always somebody coming behind you. So keep it moving. Thank you, Cynthia. Deborah?
Wow. I tell you, good stuff. I got so caught up in listening to you and Cynthia, and I'm saying, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. And God said just then, he said, it's always me. If you let me, I'll be the one. You know, because sometimes, you know, I don't have a clue what to say. And I be like, God, I know the topic sounds pretty simple, but God is saying, talk about the grace and talk about the things in between when you feeling that you can't continue to walk in the grace. He says in Hebrews, let us then approach God's throne. He got a throne of grace with confidence. He said, so when you come to me, don't be coming to me like you don't know if I'm able to give you grace. You don't know that I'm able to help you walk in grace after you get grace, or you don't know that after that is grace that kept you. He said, come with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help when in a time of need. Because why? Because there's going to be times for me, I know, that I'm feeling like I ain't worthy, and feeling like that, oh God, it's me again. I done missed the mark again, God. And he says, Deborah, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So in the Father's prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation. Because God said, there's some things in us that we desire that draw us to be tempted. He says, you know, whatever it is, it might not be a sin, but it might change your focus. In other words, anything that comes before me is an idol or a sin. And so God is saying, it might, like, okay, example, when I first got saved, I used to want to play basketball every day, all the way through. And then when Sunday came, I wanted to play basketball. And God had to show me, he said, that's your God. He said, because you rather go play ball than to come to the house of the Lord. And he had to show me that basketball wasn't a sin, but it's the place I put it in my life that became a sin. He said, so basketball is your thing. I know you want to exercise and keep it nice and trim, and back in the days, and I ain't even trim now, but I'm just saying, he showed me And so I started putting him first. I said, okay, I'm going to go to church. Then I'm going to go play basketball. He said, okay, now I work with you because you put me in my proper place. When it's time for me to read, I don't go play basketball because I'm too tired when I come back to read. But if I know I got Bible study, I don't play basketball on Wednesdays. I don't play basketball on Saturday. But he had to show me. He said, there's no temptation. That's common. So he said, I'm going to give you a way out. And he says, in John 14:23, he says, if anyone loved me, he would keep my word. Here we go. My Father would love him. Right? And he would come to him and make our home with him. So what he's saying is, I'm going to give you grace to keep it. I'm going to keep you from temptation. I'm going to give you the power to overcome the thing that's trying to overcome you. He said, if you lack wisdom, in James 1:5, he said, if you're confused about the word, if you need me to break it down to you like a 3-year-old Deborah, if you need wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. He said, ask me, who gives it all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So he said, if you don't quite know what to do, and you're in a serious situation where you need to make a spiritual decision, he said, you need spiritual wisdom. He said, just ask me, just come to me. God, do you think I should get a new car? Because I'm there. You know, I've had this in 4 years already. Do you think I should get a new car? Do Lord, give me a sign, a word, or a confirmation, get whatever you need to give me. Because my thing is I want a new car. I don't need a new car. Have a new car ain't a sin. Have a new car ain't an idol. But do... So he's saying, ask me things. If you don't know stuff, if you need to know, he said, ask me. He said, I gave you my grace. You came, you got saved, you gave me your life. I gave you my grace. You didn't deserve it. What I should have gave you what you deserve, but I'm not like man. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ain't like y'all. He said, I'm God. I'm love all y'all. It rained on the just and the unjust. And when you see the unjust, you're like, Lord, but he said, no, let the wheat and tare grow together. And I'll separate it when it's time to separate it. He said, so don't get caught on. They looking like they having a good time over there in the world. And you over here holding it down, trying to hit the mark every day, trying to be Christ-like, trying not to be letting the temptations overtaking me, trying not. He said, let the wheat and the tare grow together, devil. Focus on you. He said, that big old plank in your eye, move that first before you look at the speck over there. How you going to be all over the, and they stuff? You got enough in your own life to be asking me to help you with. Strive to be who I call you to be. I know you ain't going to be perfect because you were born and shaped in iniquity. Thanks to Adam and Eve. Thank you. What you did to us. But, hey, there's no way around it. So work what you got. He said, I got the power. I give you grace. I give you mercy. I don't give you what you need. I mean, I don't give you what I should be giving you. I have mercy on you. And I ask you to have mercy on somebody else. He said, the way that I give you grace and mercy, I ask you to pass it on. Somebody violates you, you forgive them like you asking me to forgive you. Don't come asking me to do something for you that you ain't willing to do for somebody else. Love your neighbor. Treat them better than yourself. But God, you, Deborah, I got the power. You need the power? Ask me. I'll give you what you need to overcome some stuff. He said, but I need you to come to me and just ask me to help you. He said, because I ain't going to give you a life and predestinate a life and then I'll help you get in position to fulfill it. He said, my desire is that you walk according to what I already predestinated. He said, I need you to get there. I'm going to help you get there. He said, so if you just come to me and say, hey, I need you, Lord. This is a little heavy for me. He said, cast all your burdens upon me. And I will give you rest. That's in Matthew 11:28. Just come to me and ask me, Lord, it's too heavy for me. Can you ease it up? Can you take some of the load? And God is just saying, I'm trying to teach you how to live this grace walk. He said, don't think because once you get saved that you ain't going to have no problems. Once you receive my grace, there's going to be peaches and cream. Once you get on the lower side, on my side, then it's going to be everybody else going to just be. No, you're going to have to walk some stuff out. You're going to have to let me set a table in the presence of your enemy and watch me bless you in front of them and watch them watch me bless you. No, I'm not going to remove people from the table. They need to be at the table. Judas needs to be at the table. I need Judas to carry the plan. Jesus had to be betrayed by somebody. So Jesus Say, okay, Judah, you the money man. Money usually makes some people betray you. Okay, Judas, you keep the coins, you keep the money, you keep the cow. He knew before, but he needed somebody to betray him. And Judas was willing after he got all caught up and tangled up and tempted. He was willing to go and give him up. So God let him sit there. So God said, there's going to be some people at the table. They need to be at the table. That's going to do you wrong. He said, but in the end, I got you. I got you. So just know I ain't giving you my grace and just say, okay, go walk it out. I'm giving you some instructions. I'm giving you some directions. Which way to go? I say, go left, don't go right. And then tell my, oh, Lord, fix it, Jesus. Oh, Lord, it's not working. Oh, Lord, I don't know what happened. You deviated. You went against what the GPS says. God say, I'll give you grace and I need you to walk it out. When you get stuck, you call on me. You need help, you call on me. Praise me. Worship me. Give me your whole heart. Not lip service, not your mouth. He said, I know the heart. I want your heart. Be obedient. We'll walk this thing out. Thank you for letting me share. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Y'all want me? Yeah. Y'all want me to finish?
Yeah, I was listening to you. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Walking
okay.
On out.
I was just saying, Lord, just help me, you know, because the grace is the beginning of the journey. You know, there's amazing grace. And he says, I need you to walk it out, Deborah. I need you to love your neighbors. I need you to show the fruit of the Spirit. I need you to be gentle and meekness when you're dealing with people. I need you to tell people when I brought you through something, don't be so ashamed and up. Like, no, come on down here. Come on, bring it on down. I don't need you to be heavenly minded on earth. I need you to be earthly minded and let them know how I do it in the heavens. Show them how you was delivered. Tell them. Walk it through. Tell them what I've done for you. Not 20 years ago. Not way back in 98. Recently. Tell them what I've done for you. Let them know because, you know, when you was talking, Dr. B, something came to me. When you was talking in the beginning about, you know, you look back on all the things God done for you. I was doing that the other day, and the day when you said it, it gave me a little flashback again. And I'm telling you, God has brought me, I'm telling you, from being kidnapped, I'm telling you, and the kidnapper's father helped me escape. Come on, God. It was a kidnapper of a sister and a brother and a boyfriend. Kidnapped me and another girl. I was 13. Kidnapped us and took us, I don't know if it was Sarasota, where they took us and kept us for black slavery. Come on, I'm going to keep it real. Prostitute. Come on. And like about a week or 10 days, wasn't that many days into it, the daddy came over and didn't know what was going on. And so messed around, and I was still trying to find a way out the door. And the day I told the daddy, they got me against my will. And I told the daddy, talk to the kids, keep them in the back, grown people. And I escaped out the house, and he met me on the next street, and he brought me all the way back to my city. I'm telling you, God has, without harm, not a kidnapper's father. That was just something I thought about. And one time I remember running away from a group home because they told me I had to recite a philosophy in the drug program, and it was 300 people, and I was horrified about getting in front of 300 people, and I escaped out of a moving car and almost caused everybody in the car to get an accident and ran down a highway and was hitchhiking, and a white man picked me up in a truck. Praise the Lord, and took me all the way back without harm. I'm telling you, God has been. That's just two things. We could talk for hours. I was just thinking back. and some of the stuff I set in motion. Some of the stuff I orchestrated. But God. So what I'm saying is he ain't let me receive grace. He didn't let me see grace to be on this side and then not walk it out and not share some stuff with some people. He said, I gave you grace, now I need you to walk it out. I need you to work for me. You've been working for yourself all these years. You see how we had worked for you. But thank God for the grace. We out of time. Thank God for the grace. God is amazing. God is a good God. And he do chastise us at times. Amen. Amen. Dr. B?
With that audience, we're going to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're having some technical. Dr. B, are you there?
Yeah, so we'll close it out because it's after 11 and it's probably.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
I'm here.
But we couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. I was hearing everything. And in fact, I was talking to Deborah at the time. I was saying that's his goodness. That is his goodness. And that's what I'm talking about, mothers and daughters and the goodness of God. If you think back on it, you cannot say nothing, but God is good. God is
Amen.
Good. God is good. Because if we think
Amen.
Back, like some of the things that you were saying, Deborah, I remember you sharing some of those with me. But it's just like, I mean, God, you saw this and you saved me. He saved you for such a time as this, Deborah. He knew this is where you would be and where he'd be using us. So anyway, we could go on and on and on for a two-hour show. Thank you, mothers and daughters. Thank you, Deborah and Cynthia. What a wonderful show. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, we are out. See you next Saturday morning. It's a joy to be back on, all three of us together. And you all have
Amen.
A blessed and prosperous week. Goodbye, mothers and daughters.
Amen. Bye, audience.
All right.
Love y'all.
Bye,
love you, ladies.
Love you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.